I feel like there's almost like too much BioShock Infinite stuff out there right now. I mean, really? I think IGN alone had 4 stories today about it. And it's like, oh, we play the beginning of BioShock Infinite with Kevin Feen. Here's something about that girl from thing and blah, blah, blah. I get it. I'm very excited. And it's like, here's a new trailer. Like, how many? There's been.
A lot of trailers this game that I have not watched.
I stopped watching trailers for this game like 2 years ago. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to buy it. There have been, like, I think 50 trailers since then. What's left? But, yeah, I'm excited. But, I'll be excited when it's just a game that's out. And, there's no joke there, but let's move on anyways. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 20th, 2013. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. So, what are we going to talk about today? What are your topics?
Well, let's see. Bethesda, or ZeniMax, or whoever is in charge of this now, had the first kind of hands-on big press event for Elder Scrolls Online with some various news drops, so I wanted to talk about that.
So we're going to talk about this, okay.
And Richard Garriott pissed some people off today.
Yeah, it was funny. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Then I want to talk about the Durango rumors of the Always Online DRM are kind of back in full force. I want to talk about the implications of that. And Deus Ex Human Revolution has been announced as a port for Wii U. I want to talk about that and if it's a good thing, bad thing, blah, blah, blah. So let's start off with one of yours.
Okay. Let's talk about Elder Scrolls. So they have, like I think this is the first time anyone's ever actually gotten to play it. But it sounds better than I'd hoped. Did you see any of this?
I was reading it. What has you excited?
It seems like there's really no cooldowns in the game.
Right, well, yeah. Like, I do like that. It seems like it may not be an...
It's not going to be like Slow Tor.
Yeah, it seems like the combat is going to be Elder Scrolls-like, and it's not going to be hotbars and whatever.
Right. So it's going to be, like, left-click to do an attack, right-click to block, hold down to do a power attack, just like Elder Scrolls. But then there are going to be, like, abilities bound to 5 hotkeys.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, watching the cooldowns and everything. It seems like what they're doing, it feels a little gamey, but what they're doing is, if a guy flashes yellow, that means they're going to do a power attack, so you should block, and if they flash red, then you should try to stun them.
Right, the problem is, when you do that kind of combat, it makes it very hard to have 4 people doing it on 1 monster at the same time. Which is why they're not going to have raids, they said. I think it's going to be no more than 5-mans or 4-mans or something like that.
Just fine by
which
me.
Makes it cool. Do you know, are you going to be unable to, like... occupy the same space as another player character?
What do you mean?
You know, like... What do you mean?
Like is there clipping?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Because, like, for a standard MMO, you need that because there's literally just not enough room sometimes.
Yeah.
And there's, like, when there's 25 of you. But I can't... That seems like a weird thing to have in a...
Elder Scrolls game?
Right. So it's weird because it seems like the positioning and stuff is going to be important. Again, like, that's... I'm glad that, you know, the combat's going to be Elder Scrolls. I just still don't understand... I'm not convinced it's going to transfer very well to a multiplayer component. Well, like, is there a healer? Is there a tank? Or?
No, they said they're trying to get out of that, although it sounds like...
I mean, it's hard to kind of do. No, you can't get out of it, because otherwise it's just a hack and slash. Then it's just Diablo, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's, that's just, I still feel like conceptually, it's just not a great idea. I mean, like I said, I like the fact that it's not going to be Slow Tor, but I just don't know if this is the way this is the remedy to the thing. And
one thing makes me really nervous, though. Apparently, the voice acting's pretty bad.
Really? Like, that's funny.
I was reading the Penny Arcade Reports article on it. I forget, not Ben Kachera, the other writer. I'm forgetting her name. I apologize. Apparently, the tone is just off. Like, she said, like, there's, like, a quest where you, like, rescue this girl from, like, slavers. So, like, you know, the situation is, like, she was about to be sold into slavery to be tortured, sexually abused, who knows? And you save her, and she's like, oh, wow, thanks for the help, hee-hee-hee, and, like, prances off.
That's nice.
And it's, like,
It's not comforting.
Should be a little more serious.
Well, they probably... I wonder if that's like a thing where they don't really have a very specific sound clip for that. Because, I mean, there's a lot of dialogue you would have to record.
No, I mean, it was like...
Oh, really?
Like, fully voiced. I was being reductionist there, but that's like... That was the tone.
That's weird.
Of her fully voiced, like, thank you speech.
That's like... That's another question. Like, so... This really isn't the Skyrim guys working on this at all,
No. It's a completely different team. That they formed 5 years ago.
Right. And I just don't understand. Well, how's the leveling work? Did they...
Yeah, they explained that. It's kind of like Skyrim's, except there are classes in the game, but the classes are more like a starting point. Similar, it sounds, to the way classes were handled in Oblivion, really. Like, you pick the class, but it didn't really lock you in anything. As you level up skills, it's kind of like the perk system from Skyrim, where you're like, but instead of perks, they're like actual hot bar abilities. So she seemed really impressed in the Penny Arcade Report article with how organic picking your abilities was, and it really let you build out a character based on very logical strengths and weaknesses. Like, she was doing a dual-wielding melee character, so she went for an ability that let her basically do, like, the scorpion-style harpoon get-over-here thing, so she could, like, close distance. But she was picking a lot of abilities that were draining mana quickly, so her passive did something to help counter that. And like she said, like, she was very happy with that whole process. It's, like I said, I like it because it sounds like the class is your starting point, but it could wildly diverge, which may be part of how they're going to get away from class roles.
But see, like, my only interest in this would be to see a lot of, like, the world that you don't really get to see, because, you know, like, I would like to see some of those other countries besides...
Like, Elsewhere in Daggerfall, Valenwood.
Valenwood, I said Valenwood. But I still don't see... This isn't a multiplayer experience that I want.
Well, you'll get to see it from the right perspective.
Oh, is it? Does it have her first person?
Yeah, they finally confirmed that it will have, like, not just first person, like World of Warcraft, scroll the mouse roll all the way in, and it's like this weird sort of first person, but like actual Elder Scroll style first person where you see your hands in front of you, everything animates correctly. They didn't like publicly show it because it's really not done yet, because they basically have to redo all these animations from like the first person perspective. It's weird. Like, they're being really vague about like why they didn't announce this right away. Because, they said, like, oh, yeah, we always wanted to do this. And they're like, oh, well, maybe you should have said that in the first place. It might have engendered some goodwill. They're like, well, what if we couldn't? And it's like, well, why wouldn't you? Just do it. But they said it may not be in the beta, but it will be in the game when it launches. But, like, their thing was, he's trying to say, like, how he still feels in an MMO it's more important to see behind you, which is why third person's necessary. Because in PvP, you get ganked from behind, or even just think...
No, I mean, I understand.
Think like when you encounter a battle in Skyrim, it's because you've been progressing forward. There's nothing behind you.
Right.
But in an MMO, stuff can be behind you. So if you start, like, backpedaling, you might walk into something. So he sees, like, the first person being more for, like, soloing content and towns and things like that. But they think when you're in the more hardcore stuff, you'll want to be in third. I guess I see his logic.
They say how the game looked.
Good.
Does it look as good as Skyrim does?
I didn't really see anyone speak like to that.
It'll be awkward when it doesn't, and I feel like it won't.
They talked about how it's like how they kind of tweaked the design to make more sense for an MMO. Streets are wider. Buildings are a little taller because it makes more sense for the third-person camera. So they're considering that. They're not just trying to straight up drop the exact Skyrim map into this game.
I still just don't care.
I want to, just because I really like Elder Scrolls games a lot.
I don't get the appeal. I know I've been seeing these previews everywhere. Let's not forget how incredibly enthusiastic all the press was for the Old Republic.
There are people who argue the Old Republic is a good game that's buried under what was first an archaic subscription model and some older design, and now it's buried under the worst free-to-play model in the history of gaming.
What's the good game?
The single-player story type stuff, but then you'd finish a story mission, then you did a bunch of generic grinding quests for a while.
Exactly. So,
I'm still waiting for them to announce the pricing structure for this game. If it is, like, a free-to-play from the ground up...
It won't be.
You don't think? You really don't?
I really don't. No. It's going to be $15 a month or whatever.
You really think? Wow.
Yeah, sure. Because they're pompous. They think they have a big franchise. They can get away with it.
Yeah, but I mean, Star Wars couldn't do that.
They don't care. But yeah, this is a video game franchise, and there's so many Elder Scrolls fans that are just really excited to play this. And it's been the most requested feature for Elder Scrolls forever by a bunch of idiots. You've not enticed me with anything you just said.
Really?
No.
The fact that the combat is fundamentally different from what we consider an MMO is not doing it for you.
Yeah, but that's never been the best part of that. You're saying that the combat is more like what it is in Skyrim. That's not my favorite thing in Skyrim. But it's Elder Scrolls-y combat, which is not my favorite thing about Elder Scrolls. I like the role-playing stuff and the open-ended nature of the quest. When you have five people doing a quest together, it's probably not going to be very open-ended. It's probably going to be go through the dungeon. Go and kill everyone. And there's the boss. Kill him too. Look, your helmet's better. Now you can do the next one when it comes out in 3 months. And end of the month. Where's your money? What's the money? It's the money. Oh, you just paid us. Oh, announcement! We're going free to play!
You're probably right about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Don't care. Okay, Durango, which is a funny... What was the Saturn codename? The tall...
Dural.
No, Dural. Durango, I always think of Dural when I hear Durango.
Or Dural, I don't know.
It's like the bad guy from...
Virtue Fighter.
Yeah.
I think that was after the fact.
Oh. I like to imagine it wasn't.
Like it was like an Easter egg kind of thing, or an inside joke.
So, yeah, we're getting a kind of... I mean, it was always a rumor that the always online thing was going to be a problem.
Well, pump the brakes there, because Jeff... thank you. Jeff Grubb, I don't know if he came up with this or he got it from someone else, but he believes everyone is misinterpreting what this means. Because it says always connected. What he's saying this probably means is very much like the Wii was always connected. Remember how even though you turned off the Wii, it was still in like that low-power standby online where it could still receive messages and things
But regardless of the always connected thing, the thing is, when you buy a game, it's not like you put in the game, you play the game. You put in the game, you install it, and then basically that disc is done.
No,
that's what they're saying. That's what this thing is.
It said it's playing off the hard drive. It never said anything, nothing concretely...
Well, do you think you can install the game more than once?
I could do that on my Xbox right now.
No, I think that's the whole point, is that if you have to install the game, the only reason they would make you do it is because they want you to do it only one time.
Or is it because that the original Xboxes had terribly faulty disk drives and they want to avoid that problem? Plus...
man, that is stretching it. Oh my god.
Well, that's...
Did you just say that?
If you're saying that's what they say, that's what they also said, okay? Plus, here's the other thing. Oh, shut up. Fuck you. That's not so outrageous.
That's pretty funny.
Also, pretty Blu-ray funny. Drive speeds still aren't that fast. By taking all the disc content and putting it onto a hard drive, you speed up loading time significantly.
Like I was saying, is this reporter that I'm reading right here, the one everyone's talking about, it has a quote, play from the optical disc will not be supported.
Yeah, that means...
As soon as you don't need the disc. So if you don't need the disc, then you only use the disc once.
No, it... Listen, you know how, like, installing a game on the Xbox 360 works?
Yes, I understand that. Okay. So it's not what this is.
Yeah. How's it not?
Because this is more of a DRM thing than it is about space.
When you're playing that game, when it's been installed, you're not playing it from the disc. The disc is there to check.
Right, so that's what you think this is. All right. Yeah, well, this is the why I brought this up. I brought it up because I wanted to talk about the consequences if this is true.
I don't think it is, but if you want, I'll play devil's advocate with you.
Man, I can't wait to see. Man, I will be so happy if this gets announced.
And it's not, you know why they're not going to do it? Because Sony's not. If Sony is not going to do anything
I'll tell you why they're going to do it, because they're stupid. Because now they're comfortable. They're just like Sony was. They are exactly like Sony was last generation. Now they think they have the brand name. They think that they're the winner. They think that they can get away with this shit. Just like Sony thought they could get away with releasing a $600 console. Oops, you couldn't. Now here's the plus side for them. They were able to fix that rather easily. Chop... price down. Now, if this isn't an integral part of the Durango, this notion that, you know, you install your game, or some way or another, use Game Mark instead, you can't land games, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You think they're going to get away with that? You think everyone's going to be like, well, these two systems are exactly the same. But this one doesn't let me share games or buy used games or anything like that. I have to install everything, which is kind of a pain. Do you think people are still going to be like, but you know what? I'm really dedicated to the Xbox. No, because I had a 360 and I liked it.
You're absolutely right. If that is the case, then yeah, they're fucked. Because you're right. No one will stand for it. Quick aside, the other thing is with this installation thing, you know, it's not like the current Xbox 360 where you have to wait for it to install. It, like, lets you start playing as it's installing.
Okay.
But, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. If that is the situation where choose these two consoles, one will let you play, like, a Halo game every 3 years, and one will let you play a Killzone game every 3 years. Oh, yeah, this one will let you buy used games, rent games, borrow from your friends. This one won't.
Let me tell you about my...
You're right.
Let me tell you about my nightmare.
Okay.
My nightmare is...
Did you wake up in a cold sweat, like, oh my gosh, it was just a dream. Like,
guys, we're gonna announce the Durango. Here it is, bam! 50 minutes of Kinect stuff!
Which they're still saying is required for the system.
And, oh my god, people are seeing tech demos that look almost as good as the original tech demos for Project Natal! And it's like, oh, do you remember that shit, by the way, when people were literally playing fucking soccer? With Kinect?
But then...
With like, no, seriously, so it's gonna be that, and then it's gonna be like, boom, 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 and whoa, look at these online features, you're always online, you're always connected to your friends and your favorite social media sites, and we're gonna check to make sure you're not playing used game, but we're not gonna talk about that. Like, this is what I think's gonna happen.
You think we'll get to see the bottom of an Avatar shoe again?
Oh my god.
That should have been our first clue that the Kinect was in trouble when that happened. But yeah. Anyway, I digress. You're not wrong. That's probably going to be pretty close. I don't know if it'll focus for 50 minutes on the Kinect stuff. Like I've always
way too long on it.
It'll get.
I'm not going to care at all.
I think it'll get a similar amount of time that the Move controller got during Sony's, where there'll be like one game that's like, here it is. Now we love it.
Here's the problem. They captured the general population's attention with the Kinect once because it was like a new thing and they got it.
Right.
If you're just going to tell them, like, here's the Kinect again, no one's going to care. They already tried that.
I agree.
And it doesn't even matter if it worked before or not the first time. They said, I already did that. So what? It's like, that's the same problem the Move had. Because it was like, look, motion controls, but it's better. So what? Everyone's seen it. Yeah, we did
motion controls, right?
It doesn't, like I said,
there's something to be said for being first.
Right. And the problem is, like, they already were first. And I can understand, like... Actually, no, I don't understand why it has to be a thing still. I think the Kinect is fucking stupid, but I don't know. There it is.
I like the voice recognition of the Kinect better than...
Put a microphone in the system. Put it in the box.
I mean, honestly, that's what I love best about it. I like the promise of Kinect. If Kinect... Like, I want the holodeck. That's the point. That's, like, where this is all going, right? If we get to the holodeck, but it's still limited to a TV screen, but this thing actually does track the way that those original Project Natal tech demos showed, great. Do I think that's going to happen? Not really.
Yeah, I wonder how much better this new Kinect is going
to
be.
Well, I'll tell you, like I said from the beginning, I think an HD camera in the damn thing would be a long way towards, you know, improving it.
Right.
Especially, there's so many games that, like... want to integrate the video from the Kinect camera into the game, so it's like, play this game on your gorgeous 1080p TV and look at this VGA resolution picture of yourself in it.
Right, it's like, oh, that's nice. Oh, it looks stupid. I hate Kinect, and I don't know, I'm not getting good vibes about the next Xbox, we'll see. We already know it's probably not going to be as powerful as the PS4, right?
There's no, I don't...
That's always been the thing, I don't know why. Maybe there's no bad enough to back that up. But they might be in trouble. Okay, so what do you want to talk about, Richard Garriott?
Oh, real quick, too. I like how the report for the new Xbox controllers, like, the headline was like, new Xbox controller will feature, quote, improved ergonomics. Like, they're going to, wait, they're going to improve the ergonomics? No. What the fuck does that even mean?
I'll say, what's an ergonomic?
The comfort of holding it.
Oh.
How it fits your hand.
That was like aerodynamics.
Well, kind of.
They're going to add a dorsal fin to it.
Less drag, better control.
Right. For when you're moving around like an idiot. You're playing Kinect. So, okay, what did Richard Garriott say? Okay. What did Lord British say?
So, he was doing an interview with PC Gamer. And to paraphrase, he basically said, like, all game designers suck at their jobs, and I don't know anyone who's as good as me.
That's not even paraphrasing much. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. He then went on to say that the only good game designers he knows of are, like, all these guys from the, like, early 90s and late 80s when he was in his prime. Yeah.
Now, and he's saying, like, you know, everyone just, like, incrementally improves things on his new disc.
Fundamentally, I don't entirely disagree
with
him. Well,
it's the right message from the wrong messenger.
Yeah, he's just being a dick about it.
I mean, I have Richard Garriott's IMDb profile up, and I see his works.
A lot of Ultima
on that list.
And we all know how good Ultima 9 was, and, you know, Tabula Rasa was a runaway success.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's basically all Ultima than a bunch of MMOs. And I'm saying that Ultima's bad or something. I'm saying, you know, Ultima's good, but to be to just challenge the industry because they're not as good as you.
Because you made a bunch of Ultima games that I'm pretty sure were incrementally different from each other.
Right, so yeah, it's not like each one reinvented itself. Yeah. All 9 of them.
I just have these stories to tell and then, these ways to tell it.
Did you ever get into Ultima? Maybe this
it was a little bit before our time. I mean, we might have caught, like, by the time I would have been ready for a game like that, I think they were on 7 or 8. And I remember when 9 came out, I remember looking at the back of the box and thinking, that game looks gorgeous. I want to play it. But its technical malfunctions were so well known that even kind of before social media, I knew that to stay away from that game. That's how broken it was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've played Lineage 2 a little bit. It was a very standard, like, Korean-style MMO. Because
they came out right before WoW did.
Yeah, and then Tabula Rasa, I couldn't tell you what anything unique about it aside from the fact that it was, like, sci-fi, which there weren't a lot of sci-fi MMOs yet.
Right.
And that was kind of it.
And
then, like, the guys he quotes as, like, being the only people good at designing games is him. Who's the guy who did Wing Commander? Chris?
That's another game that's kind of like around this time where, like, I did not get Wing Commander.
No, and I get Wing Commander, but again,
I don't get it.
They weren't that different from each other. They were good. I don't want to slag Wing Commander.
But I mean, slag Wing Commander a little bit. It's a little overrated.
Then he quotes Peter Molyneux, the genius Peter Molyneux.
No. No. Nobody who made Fable 3 is allowed to be called a genius at game design. They're just not.
No.
They're just not. I'm sorry.
And, I mean, Will Wright, I'll give you Will Wright.
But then you
made SimCity and The Sims.
Will Wright, except the fact that Spore set PC gaming back 3 years.
Well, that's true, too. So all these guys have had a pretty, well, except for the Wing Commander guy. I mean, he did his thing and he got out.
Yeah, but he just made Wing Commander. It's fine. Don't, like, hold him up as, like, the pillar of the industry. Like, oh, fucking Wing Commander guy. Fuck you, Wing Commander guy, and your goddamn Wing Commander and your full motion videos and whatever. I never got those games. I never got even, like, TIE Fighter and X-Wing, which everyone jerks off to. Yeah, everyone jerks off to. I don't get it. I was like, okay, it's cool. I'm in a cockpit. There's a TIE Fighter. I'll push this button. But, oh, the TIE Fighter's dead.
You're in a ship with no shields. Huh? Anyway. But, I mean, to now go on the other side, I mean, his fundamental message of a lot of games are like, oh, this game was really great, so we added health packs to it and a cover system, and now we have our game.
I mean, I guess he's right.
Yeah,
but
he is right.
He's not doing a lot to help.
Exactly. That's my. I think that's what. Like he, you know, he's trying to kickstart this new kind of socially connected RPG. And I'll tell you what. Did you watch the pitch video? The video that he is relying on to sell this game to people. Did you watch it?
No.
It is the most boring thing I've ever watched in my life. The person like driving it looks like they've never used a computer before. Like, the game is like an overworld map that's, like, laid out in a hex grid, like Civilization V.
Uh-huh.
The guy's just, like, meandering around doing nothing for, like, minutes at a time. Then he, like, goes into an area, and it just looked like the most boring fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't understand, like, you know, when you're trying to sell something, you make an exciting video, tightly edited, really dramatic. This was just, again, like 10 minutes of someone who didn't know how to use a computer trying to play a boring-looking video game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I had a thought and I completely lost it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something about video games.
Oh, good. Well, at least you're on topic.
Oh, no, like, I hate all these people, like, well, we need to innovate video games, like what I'm doing. Look, I added social features. Oh, wow. Fuck me. I'm sick of that being the answer. Like, oh, my God, we're connected to the internet. And look, there's that guy over there. He's doing the same thing as you, but it's mildly different. You can see what he's doing. And SimCity. Like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that being the future. It's like the social shit. We need to do better than that. We need to invent genres, not just add social shit. That's kind of the problem. Yeah. I think that's the problem why things are so samey, and they're feeling more and more samey, where we kind of got spoiled because we had this really big reinvention of video games in the late 90s because we went to 3D. And, like, it was literally, like, everything was different. We invented genres and stuff. Now what? You can't go to, like, the next thing.
Until we get the holodeck.
Well, yeah, honestly, like, that's the next thing. It's just, like, we're fully living out adventures. And it's, like, you know, it was exciting for a while, like, oh, Grand Theft Auto realized that you could do, like, this open world thing, and now we have a bunch of games like that. And now that's old. And it's like, oh, Resident Evil 4 reinvented the third-person shooter, and now we have Gears of War and Uncharted and this and that, and okay, now that's old, you know? And everything's beginning to feel the same. And, like, especially PC, you know, PC gaming gets idolized a lot, but it's as stagnant as anything, especially the AAA PC games.
Well, there's a problem I perceive, especially PC gaming, with, like, because it's a bigger indie scene. Mm-hmm. And they suffer the same problem that we're getting with Garriott now. They're all on their high horse. The AAA games, they're just cash grabs and marketing ploys, and I'm doing it right. Like, I should be Game of the Year because my games are innovative. And I'm talking about Jonathan Blow kind of specifically here. But, like, you know, like, Jonathan Blow, you made a really fucking good 2D platformer that I enjoyed. You didn't revolutionize anything. Yeah. You made a solid game. Well, good for you. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, no, he's definitely pretentious. I'll agree. I think he might have contributed more than what you're saying. Because for a while, we almost had that model of games that were like Braid being released on the Xbox Live Arcade.
But even that got old hat.
Yeah, it got old.
How many 2D platformers that have, like, silhouettes and shit?
Yeah, I think once Fez came out, we were like, all right, we're all done with this. Because we had Limbo and Fez and this and that, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's cute. Nah, exactly. We're just kind of all waiting for something new to happen. And right now they're trying to, like, do all the social stuff, and I'm not going for it. All right. So this won't be as long, but so they announced a special edition of Deus Ex Human Revolution for the Wii U. Good that it is a new game for the Wii U. Good that, you know, it's a good game. It's gonna have, like, some new things. I think they're gonna rework some of the boss fights, they said.
Yeah, which that's what I'm most excited about.
They're gonna add in some of the DLC content that, like, there's, like, one DLC that was, like, that took place in the middle of the story, so that's just gonna, like, happen seamlessly. But it's a 2-year-old game.
Yep, here's another port for your Wii U.
Right, and
looks better somehow, maybe. Can't tell.
So are you interested in playing Human Revolution again?
Yes, only because I never finished it. I never even bought it. I played a little bit of your copy on the Xbox, and I believe it's one of the games I managed to get on Live for a penny.
Right. It is a good game.
So this might be a good excuse for me to go back and finally play it for reals.
Some of the second screen stuff sounds like it'll be like the hacking and stuff.
Well, not even just the hacking. What I'm excited about is, like, they're doing augmented sniping.
Yeah, that could be cool.
That's kind of cool sounding. Like I like that idea where the scope is going to be on the touch screen and the game screen remains the standard
that
view.
That is kind of one of the good things about these ports is that it lets people kind of experiment with some of this stuff without having to make a whole game.
Now, I mean, the shitty thing is going to be it's now going to be asking you to play. This game came out this 2012?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you're going to get a port of a year-old game that you can get for, like, $15 on Steam, and it's going to be $60.
May 7th it's coming out.
So it won't be quite a year. Did it come out August 2012? Is that right?
Yeah, it's not right. Yeah, it'll be about 2 years.
It feels like it was longer.
It's not a new game.
Yeah.
It's a good game, but it's not new.
That's that's the problem with a lot of the Wii U launch games. Like, Mass Effect 3 is $20 on the Xbox or $60 on the Wii U.
Right, yeah. And you think this will launch at $60?
I don't know. I mean, they haven't said, but probably.
This thing says $50.
Okay, still.
But yeah, still, it's not like, oh, discount.
Again, it's $15 on Steam, I think.
Right.
But, like I said, for me, who never finished it, this might be a good excuse to finally go ahead and finish it. But I feel like I'm the exception rather than the rule. I feel like by now, most people who really wanted to play this game have played it.
Yeah, like, I played it already, and I liked it a lot, but I don't need to play it again.
There's, like, a reverse bell curve of, like, the people who really didn't get to it, the people who fucking love this game and would love to play it again, but then it bottoms out in the middle of most people who don't care about a Wii U port of this game.
Right, well, and I've never been one of those guys who, like, one of these games where there's mostly two ways to play it.
Yeah, you do the stealth or the guns blazing.
Some people are like, I did the guns, but now I'm going to do stealth. I don't care. If I beat it, I beat it.
Yeah.
I almost always do the stealthier version.
That's the thing, I regretted it, so I'll probably do that this time.
You were like, I'm going to do, like, a shooting game. I'm like,
yeah, that was a mistake.
Have fun.
That was a mistake.
Right. But, I mean, speaking of games for Wii U, though, it actually had some games come out this week, which was nice.
Well, Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter, which we don't care about.
I want to care. I don't know why I want to care. It seems like you watch the damn commercial for it, and those people are having so much fun, Mike.
Okay.
Did you see the video that shows, like, how you could transfer your save file from the Wii U to the 3DS? No. Okay, so first of all, like...
Do those play with each other?
Well, not yet, because the tool to transfer the file hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, but they will.
But, first of all, it's a tool. Like, it's not just, like, saving your file to the cloud automatically. You have to, like, manually do it both ways every time, which is kind of dumb. But anyway, in this commercial, it's like, this kid, he's like, hey, I'm playing Monster Hunter on my Wii U. Look at how much fun I'm having. And he gets a text message like, hey, where are you? We're going to go on a quest together. He's like, oh, sweet. So he transfers his save to his 3DS and goes out to the park, and all his other Abercrombie models are sitting there on, like, a park bench.
That's what they do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're playing Monster Hunter 3DS, oh my god. And they're like, hey, let's go back to Johnny's place. So they go back, and he puts his game back to the Wii U, but they're still on their 3DSs, and they're having so much
fun. I'm sure they're having a great time in the commercial. Most fun.
And the kids, but I want that fun.
No, you're not going to have it.
I know. But, I know I'm not.
Like, what about, like, Lego City also came out, though? Do you have any interest in that?
Apparently it has massive load times.
Yeah.
Like upwards of a full minute.
But it is supposed to be good. I like the idea of a game that's Grand Theft Auto except with, like, out the guilt.
Yeah, for the kids.
And, like, well, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed that I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. But I still don't necessarily like that game a whole lot.
Right,
you
right.
know? So, but, and I saw some of the, like, a video review on GameTrailers. It looked like it is, like, It has some pretty charming and funny moments in it.
Oh, sure. Apparently, it's filled with a lot of, like, 80s cop and action movie references.
Right, and, like, the soundtrack is very much kind of like that. And I think that's kind of neat, but it's just... Normally, I would feel like, yeah, release that thing in March. It's a great time, because it's usually slow. I got a lot of shit to play right now.
March has become a crowded time of year. I got, like, honestly,
lot to play.
The summer is, like, the slowest time of year now.
Like, I just beat Tomb Raider. I finally got DMC coming, because I got it cheap on Amazon. And then, like... But even before I finish that, I'm sure Bioshock's going to be out. It's going to be kind of nuts. But that's it, so... Okay, let's move on our week in gaming, then. How about that?
All right, so you beat Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is very good. I can't remember how far it was last time I was talking about it. I think I had an opinion by last time. I don't think my opinion changed on it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I had something I want to say, but I guess I won't say it just because it might be a spoiler. But, like I said, as a very Uncharted-esque game, it was very good. It can't match those games... sort of personality.
I was going to say charm.
Right, and it's not even just that because, like, it is, you know, it's a much lighter tone than Tomb Raider, but it's just things aren't as technically impressive. Like, there's one thing Tomb Raider never even bothers trying to do because it's so hard is, like, AI companions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always just, like, there's a bunch of, like, other people on the island with her, but you only ever see them in cutscenes, or sometimes they'll be sitting around a campfire, but...
Like, waiting for you to do
right,
something.
Right, you'll never, like, yeah, they never are organically, like, doing something
with
next
you.
Right, it's not like Solly or Lane and the other ones, because they just never try that. Which isn't really that big a deal, but it's just, like, an example how it's not quite technically up to snuff. Like, when you talk to some of those characters like a campfire, it's just, like, it doesn't, like, go into a cutscene, like, their mouths aren't even moving, you know?
Oh, really?
Right, it's just, like...
quick aside, can we stop doing that?
Maybe it was just a bug when it happened
to me. Don't we have mouth tech now?
But, it's like, oh, again, their mouths aren't moving, that's weird, because everything else is moving. But, like, the thing it does the best from a charge is, like, those big set pieces, where, like, things are blowing up, and it's
you're
crazy.
Running,
and, yeah, you're running, yeah. It has
good
moments.
A lot of people poo-poo that.
I like that stuff.
I love that stuff.
I love
it's
it.
It's fun.
And it's not very hard a lot of times. And also, it's a much easier game than Uncharted. Tomb Raider is very much a modern game, in that at no point will you be stuck. You'll die a couple of times. If you die, pretty much 99% of the time, you'll beat it the second time because you know what you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just, you know, you're stupid, you're careless, whatever. But it's not like Uncharted, there are, like, gunfight sequences that, you know, they're pretty hard, and they take, like, 10 tries before I can beat them. Which has always been my theory as to why people say the gunplay or, like, the shooting mechanics aren't good in Uncharted. I think it's just harder, and people resent that. That sounds like elitist to me, it sounds like I'm being a, Uncharted defense for, yeah, apologize, that's the word, but I that's kind of how I feel sometimes. But no, Tomb Raider is much simpler. What I do like about Tomb Raider 2 is there's only 4 weapons, and that's all you need. I think I talked about it last time, but...
I like that.
I talked about it last time.
You know, you play Call of Duty, it's like, here's the M4A1 and the AK-47 and the M16. I'm like, well, what do they do? Well, they're automatic rifles that shoot bullets. Oh.
No, I like this. You know, you have bow and arrow, but even the bow and arrow and the pistol are kind of similar. It's like, you almost don't even need both of those.
Yeah.
But it's Tomb Raider, so you have to have a pistol.
Well, isn't the bow and arrow silent?
Yeah, but you get a silencer for the pistol.
Oh.
So it's like, I mean, there's some different things. There's like, you can get fire arrows eventually, which is kind of dumb, but like their explanation for it, it's like, oh, she found a lighter and she taped the lighter to the end of her bow and arrow, so now she has fire arrows. I'm like, what? That's kind of the problem too, is like the logic
takes some leaps.
You question it more because the game is so dark and kind of serious
and like realistic ish
right, exactly. So when
let's not forget, the series did and in the beginning featured dinosaurs,
right? So like when it does get absolutely ridiculous, with the set pieces or some of like the plot elements, and like it's some stuff that like a chart would do exactly the same, but it seems weirder. Because, like, a moment ago, like somebody was about to be sacrificed in a fire ritual, you know, and for her life. And now it's like, whoa! You know, it's like Die Hard all of a sudden. Like, not even a good one, like 5. that was too mean. I just wanted to make fun of Die Hard 5. That's not true. No, I liked it a lot. I was very surprised with it.
Good.
Harmon Knight. I played a little bit of Harmon Knight last night.
I downloaded the demo. I didn't get to it yet.
I played through it. I like Harmon Knight a lot. Very, very fun, kind of a cute little rhythm game. Like I said, it's part Bit Trip Runner, part Space Channel 5. Like, you know, like there's like the platformy parts, and I mean it's just cool. It's hard to explain. Like, well, like the Space Channel 5 parts, like the Simon Says things, they're very cinematic,
mm-hmm.
which and it's like surprisingly so. Like they look really good. Like some monsters chasing you and all this stuff is happening. Like you're flying down a mountain, and it's surprisingly good looking.
Do you think it'll succeed as a $15 downloadable on the 3DS?
I just got a code to play it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a retail game. I even know that. Because you were saying, like, oh, it's $15. You're kind of poo-pooing it. I was like, it's only $15? I think it's well worth it for $15. I'm not saying it's the longest game. Look, is it going to be as long as, like, a first-person shooter campaign? No, it's a rhythm game, you know?
Right.
And it's not like one of the song-based ones where you're going to want to replay levels over and over again. It's like, oh, I really like that song. It's not like one of those.
Right.
You know, but I think it's worth it. I think it's worth checking out. It's fun stuff. I played a little bit more StarCraft 2. I'm getting a little worried. It's because, I mean, it's kind of what Wings of Liberty did. Like every mission kind of has a gimmick.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, because, you know, because...
Because we played StarCraft a lot.
Right, but there are times where I'm just like...
Can I play StarCraft?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, can't you just, like, put me in a base and, like, have me raise troops and beat the other guys? I did the one mission, like, the whole gimmick was like, oh, every minute and a half, everything freezes. And, like, eventually you get the Ando, but, like, the Protoss still free, so you can only attack them when they're frozen. It's like, okay. Then I'm, like, sending them, like, I wish I was just, like,
attacking. Playing StarCraft.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm worried, like, everything's gonna have a gimmick, and some of them will be alright, some of them won't, but it is what it is. Like, it's already setting up for this very predictable plot twist. It's annoying me, yeah. Alright. But that's it for me. What did you play?
The only big thing I played is, it's a new iOS release called Ridiculous Fishing.
Everyone's been talking about
it. It's great. Okay, so, Ridiculous Fishing plays out, and I have them already. You're pulling up
I want to do them this
okay,
time.
Okay, well, but you're facing the wrong way. You can't.
It's because I'm looking at them for a second.
Okay. Anyway, Ridiculous Fishing, no one knows what we're talking about.
I'm looking up the releases. I'm getting it ready while AJ talks about a stupid iOS game.
Yeah, I know. Oh, everyone got a 92% on Metacritic.
It can't be that good. Is it good for an iOS game? Yeah, I'm sure.
No, it's a good game.
Let me play it right now.
Well, hang on. Let me talk about it.
Give it to me right now. I want to play it.
Okay.
I want to have this experience live.
Well, you're going to miss a little bit of the experience because, like, the first time you play it, there's a joke, which I'll try to convey to you. Hang on.
Wait, are you going to ruin it for me?
Well, you're not going to get it regardless.
Can I just play through the beginning later?
No.
Is it the fact that you shoot the fish? Is that the
joke?
That's
part of it. Well, yeah, more or less. What folder did I put it in?
your gaming folder is way too complicated. It sounds like it's a simple thing. You just fish and then you shoot the fish.
Well, okay, so there's three stages to it. The first is you're dropping your lines. You're trying to avoid all the fish. You can get to the maximum depth of your line. Because if you grab any fish, you start reeling it up. So you want to avoid them, work your way down. And then things like jellyfish are super bad because they'll eventually lose you money. Once you hit the fish... You start going back up. Now the game switches, and you're trying to collect as many fish as you can. And then once you hit the top of the water, all the fish go flying into the air, and now you gotta shoot the fish to get all your money from them. What's funny is when you first play the game, like, there's just little text prompts to explain it to you, and, like, when you don't really know what's going on, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this makes sense, drop the line, avoid some fish, and it's like, you snag one, it's like, now catch fish on your way up. I'm like, okay, catching fish, blah, 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 and I don't really know what's gonna happen. You hit the top, and then, like, the prompt just comes up, like, the screen freezes, like, now get your gun out and shoot the gills out of them. I was like, oh, okay. Like, start tapping. It has this very cool arch style where it's all, like, 45-degree angles, so it has a very neat look to it. But the big thing, and it's weird we have to say this, but the big thing about it, as an iOS game, there's no in-app purchases. It's a $3 game, and that's it. You get the game. There's, like, an in-game store, but it's all in-game currency. You're not going to, like, you know, buy 20 fish bucks so you can, like, get your guns
I
faster.
I just went fishing. It was fun enough, but I'm not like...
Again, it's $3, and it's really, really
good. I know,
good.
And I get... But I feel like people are trying to make a point when they give this game, like, a 10. I mean...
No, yeah, it's a fun game. Some people are like, oh, we must champion it because there's no in-app purchase. It's like, how about we champion it because it's a good game?
It's fine, but it's like, I get annoyed that this is, like, one of the best reviewed games this year. And I just played it in 2 seconds, and it was, you know, it was fine. It was fine. I was amused. Like, I understand that, like, some people like this getting back to, like, the very basic nature of what a game is. I don't. Look, I like...
You like Tomb Raider?
Look, yeah, you know, like, there's a reason why I don't play the NES games all day long. Or, like, there's a reason why I don't have an Atari, like, 2600 or whatever the hell, and, like, just play that. Like, oh, this is what games are all about. No. No, not really.
Yeah, I know, you're not wrong.
Okay, releases then.
Okay. So first up...
I guess you're kind of right. I guess you should do this. Yeah. I will not be speaking into the microphone. Right.
Exactly. Thank you. Oh, we didn't do the community shit.
Oh, well, why don't you do that?
Yeah, hang on. I had that all ready to go, and I accidentally closed it because we were playing Ridiculous Fishing.
I was playing Ridiculous Fishing. You were talking about it.
Okay, so... coming from Demi Anafuakum. Sorry, man. I don't know.
He's got a hard name. He's challenging us on the Ouya.
The Ouya.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to call it the oh, yeah from now on.
So, he makes, like, the point that, you know, $99 for a lot of people is going to be an impulse buy. So, he's saying you can't discount that, especially when the piston is going to cost $999.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and then, like Supergiant Games, the guys who made Bastion, announced their next game, Transistor, which... kind of looks a little like Bastion in sci-fi with a little...
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks nice, though.
Yeah, it looks really good. And, you know, Dammy says, if something like that's coming to Ouya, because Bastion's going to be on Ouya, then great, fantastic. But as Pete Davidson questioned, well, given that this will almost inevitably also come to Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, and Steam, why do you need an Ouya to play it? I could see this maybe going... a year into the next console cycle, where if for whatever reason you've hit that point in your life, and you're like, I don't need a PlayStation 4. I just want to play Transistor. Well, that's kind of, I'm going to get an Ouya for $99 and be done with it.
That's kind of the interesting thing is like all these things will inherently they will not have exclusives, like at all.
Right. Now, one advantage I could see to the Ouya, I don't know exactly how their store structure works, but presumably if they're all Android games, like what if you could get a game to play on your home console, your tablet, and your phone. Like, yeah, one buy for all three devices. Because no one's doing that.
Right.
That's one advantage I could see. But really... It'd be a fun thing to, like, put in your bedroom. So, like, you know, if you just want to play something quick before bed. Or maybe you want it to also, you know, use it as a Netflix streamer. Because it's going to cost us as much as, like, a Roku would anyway, so may as well play some games. But I don't see it like anyone buying that as their dedicated gaming console. And I'm going to get Transistor on a gaming console, not the Ouya.
Right.
So that's
that. All right, let's now... Oh, is there something else we were talking about? Anything else?
Jeff Grubb points out that you don't have to click an ad for the site to make money, which just confuses us even more.
I don't know.
I look at ads all the time.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
so we should be rolling it down.
Yeah, why are we making money from it?
All right, but coming out this week, Gears of War Judgment.
Came out this week, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm kind of, like it's interesting because...
It sounds good.
Well, what's interesting is that, like, the average of the reviews is, like, the same as God of War got. Except where, like, God of War is, like, everyone just gave the game an 80. Well, this game, there's, like, a lot of people are, like, saying it's, like, a 90, and a lot of people are saying it's, like, a 60.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it almost makes me more interested.
You know what's weird to me?
Hmm.
Baird is really front and center on this game. Where you think it would have been Baird and Cole?
Right. Well, you know what? That's another thing is I always liked Baird the most. But
I did too. But I felt like I was in the minority there.
I always got the impression that the Gears of War, like especially in 3, Baird did not seem very important in that game at all. They put a lot more of the emphasis on Cole. And it's weird because Cole's like in the background on this all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I
think
was
that's weird.
I guess everyone secretly liked Baird and they realized, I don't know. But yeah, it surprises me because I thought that Baird was not as revered internally. But hey, there we go. Well, yeah. I guess it's because it's not them making it. Maybe true. Like, maybe Epic never realized that people liked Baird. And not these guys are like, hey.
People like Baird. Let's see, Lego City Undercover for Wii U. And then, what sounds like a just great game, The Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
Apparently it's terrible.
Awful.
How was I going to get in?
Just the basest of terribleness.
Oh, well.
Hyper Dimension Neptunia Victory.
Okay.
I know Pete likes these.
Oh, what are these? Are these the RPGs?
Hyper Dimension Neptunia Victory has players help Neptune begin her quest to protect a totally different game industry. Oh, I get it. It's game industry. From a group of villains calling themselves Seven Sages that are trying to create a world without CPUs.
This isn't the Inafune thing, is it?
I don't think so. Maybe? I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Next.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for Wii U and 3DS. Was
called Monster Hunter Tri for a very long
yeah,
time?
Yeah, it's just an up-res port of a Wii game. Let's not beat around the bush about it. Let's see. Dead or Alive 5 Plus for the Vita, if that's your thing. The next chapter of the Tyranny of King Washington for Assassin's Creed 3 has come out, called The Betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Need for Speed Most Wanted U.
What's different with that?
I don't know, you could play it on a tablet controller, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Oh, God. Need for Speed Most Wanted is an open-world racing game and the 19th release in the long-running Need for Speed franchise.
Why even mention that?
19, that's just a lot. I didn't realize there were so many.
No, not you. I mean, why are they mentioning it?
Yeah, like...
I thought you immediately became defensive.
No, I thought you said, why are you mentioning it? I was like... why not? It's funny.
All right, that's it?
That's it.
All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can also follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Well, that Facebook page is becoming less and less relevant because we're doing a lot of our talking on the Google Plus. Go to our Google Plus.
Twitter is where I'll post updates.
Yeah.
Like when I fuck up the upload. Sorry.
Go to the iTunes Music Store and check out our old episodes. And all right, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye. Well, hang on, let me talk about it.
Give it to me right now. I want to play it.